There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to the second part of this incredible episode of Queer I Am, the podcast, live and unscripted. The conversation continues and we also have an audience Q&A. I hope you enjoy. So whatever you're up to, this is your time to settle down, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Queer I Am. So thank you everyone so much. And can I just say thank you all for coming tonight and listening to the conversation. It's a privilege to do this, and to have everyone here listening and joining in is amazing. And just a big thank you to this incredible panel as well, because I think we had a really lovely conversation. So big round of applause for my panel, please. So I don't have any more questions. It's completely over to all of you. So if anyone does have a question, I will run across with a microphone. Probably put my ass on the camera, but we'll make it work. And yeah, I'll pass to the guests to answer your question. So does anyone have a question they'd like to ask? Tinder, I'll come over. Be nice, Harry.
This one's aimed at Mary. No, it's not really. What's your one hot tip for a successful relationship? And that can be romantic, platonic, etc., etc.
Thank you. Good question. Who wants to take that?
I'll go first. Make time for yourself and do shit on your own. Because if you're... Because if you're codependent and you're always together, then you never get space to just do you. So that's what I do in my relationship. And I, even though I say so myself, have quite a successful relationship. But that's because I carve time to do things that I want to do, and I do it for myself or with my friends and stuff. And they don't always have to be involved in everything I do. So I think that's...
Well, then you have things to talk about too, right? Because you do your own stuff and you're like, oh, I did this today and let's talk about that. And okay. Anyone else?
Laugh together.
Laugh together. Love or laugh?
Love.
Love. Laugh. Laugh. But I think that is a really... Friendship and laughter in any type of relationship is really important, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there some sort of like psychological like study around laughter and friendship within any type of romantic relationship that you can talk about?
Not really. I think we just all know that, you know, when we laugh with each other, it's just fun. It brings some lightness. It's bonding. And, you know, it's just so needed.
Yeah. Really. Okay. Fabulous.
I would say truly support each other's success, not just success that benefits the two of you. So whether it's friendship, whether it's relationship, if somebody's successful, celebrate it. Don't try and tear them down. Don't be like, oh, that's great. And then... be like jealous behind the back. That's not cute. Do you know what I mean? Like actually support each other's success. Like for me with my partner, I love when he is successful. That makes me happy. And it doesn't mean anything to do with whether that benefits me. I just like to see him happy. So, and same with friends as well. Like just support each other's success. Truly support each other's success. Yeah. Not just something that benefits you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything to add, Brian?
No, I can't top the just having a bit of independence from each other is just, I think, so, so key. And
yeah.
So, yeah, exciting.
We're all people, aren't we? And we need to have our individuality to then be able to actually contribute towards someone else's life. I think that's really important. Absolutely. Any other questions? Does that answer your question, Tinder?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, wonderful. Shall I? Do you have a question? A run over? Bear with. I keep fit doing this, don't I?
Sorry, my question goes to Ugla. So we talk about relationships in terms of obviously romantic and friendship, but in terms of relationships with people that you know, in terms of online, obviously working and posting content and seeing stuff, specifically things like Facebook, I don't know if you're still on it. Unfortunately, I still am for business reasons. But what's your relationship like with people seeing, like you said, like the active sort of like hate and the visceral sort of comments and stuff? So my question is that how do you like sort of step back from that and just go, doesn't affect me? Or like do you go like full pelt? So how does that affect your relationship with people in like a general space? And I'm just intrigued to know from like your experience.
Yeah, I think...
Great question.
Yeah, I think now in my life I'm so confident in who I am that all the negative stuff doesn't really affect me. But I can see, you know, 10 years ago or something, these are things that would have really, really affected me and who I was. So I think, you know, if you are putting yourself out there on social media as well, it's really important to have good support and with the people around you. And I think with my partner, we both obviously do lots of activism on social media and so on. And we are just quite good at supporting each other with it. For example, my partner is a lot more sensitive to it. So when they put something out there and they see, oh, there's loads of comments, I go through the comments and then delete or block or do whatever so they don't have to see that and tell them how that is. So I think, you know, and I think the reason why I don't necessarily go and delete those things or respond to those things is because I kind of want other people to see the horribleness that I'm getting just for saying really simple things. Like I said something the other day which was really simple. It was just something like, you know, I am who I am and I'm supported by my family and by my friends and everyone around me, and those are the most important people in my life. So why would I care about some random person online? And you cannot imagine the amount of random people commenting things on that. Just really nasty stuff. And some people got in touch with me afterwards and they were like, I didn't realize it was so bad. And that's why I keep it up, because I want people to see that. So I think I sometimes use social media almost to shock people into action, because I want people to realize how bad it can be. But obviously it's really difficult to, you know, for people reading all those things. And I can see myself a long time ago not, you know, being in the space to do that. But I think now I am. And I think, you know, the more, you know, you just have to show people what it's like, because people don't often understand how bad it is sometimes. And I think especially on places like Twitter, which is just a really horrible space right now to be an LGBT person, and Facebook as well, all of those places. And yeah, and I think, you know, it does change your relationship with people as well, because some people know you as a person, but then they see what you put online and it's not necessarily always the same person in a way. And some people you only know online as well. So it's quite an interesting relationship. But I've made really good friendships that were first online friendships because of these shared experiences we were having as well. So I think that's an interesting thing. But it's also, you know, worth considering, you know, all this bullshit and all these people commenting all these negative things are probably really, really miserable people who need to get a hobby, and you are just living your life, doing your thing, and you just have to think, well, I'm quite happy with what I'm doing, but these people obviously are not. Because never once have I come to a point in my life where I've thought, you know what? I'm going to go online and I'm going to comment really, really horrible, nasty things on people's social media and call them out and talk about their appearance and do all these. Like, I've never once been in that space in my life. And you have to be quite far down. So I almost just feel sorry for these people, to be honest. And once you get into that space, I think it's easier in a way.
Do you think compassion has kind of changed your... It sounds really compassionate because actually, if I think about some of the comments that we see online, there are other words that I could use for it. But actually, what you're saying is actually very noble and very compassionate. So do you think that actually that's enabled you to, by tapping into that, to see past it and kind of go, actually, they've got their own stuff going on. I'm just going to do me.
Yeah, definitely. And it's helped me not internalize what they're saying because it's obviously a problem they have rather than a problem I have. Yeah. So that's really helped me to deal with it for sure. Yeah. Just being able to see it from that perspective, I think.
I kind of just want to add to that as well. Like, comments and words are only as powerful as you let them be. Like, I can't speak on your story, but as a drag queen posting stuff, like, I do a lot of TikTok lives where I'll get ready and makeup, and the amount of hate and shit that I get for doing that, like, it's wild, but I find it funny. Like, I find the comedy in it. So I read these comments and I just, I put on like a voice in my head of someone being like, oh my God, she looks like shit. And it just makes me laugh. Like, it doesn't, comments like that, I think, 100%, if you're getting a barrage of them in a barrage, then it can drain you, and it can, but I just don't give them any power because that's what they want ultimately. And to be honest, I don't know if any of you know how social media works, but the more they comment, the more it gets pushed up an algorithm, the more exposure you get. So really, they're kind of being counterproductive in what they're doing.
They're promoting
the more hate,
you.
The more hate, the more exposure, and ultimately that's what social media is. So I think for anybody who is kind of struggling with like, how do I deal with social media, I honestly just put a stupid voice on and think, oh, what the fuck? I just laugh at it.
I think that's really nice you're both saying that, because there will be people who maybe won't be as secure and will actually take that stuff to heart.
Absolutely.
And it will be the difference between whether someone is having a really great day or a miserable day and feeling quite in a very isolated space. So the fact that you're saying that, I think, really shows people that actually there is a different way to deal with this stuff. And actually, the more stronger you get, you can let things kind of go. So no, that's
I kind of read everything with satire. I'm like, oh, they're just joking. Like, it doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter.
You have to find the humor in it.
Yeah, just find the humor in it. Like, honestly, like I would do TikTok lives and people are like, oh, you're going to burn in hell. And I'm just like, okay, probably it's hot. Okay. Yes, well, probably.
The Pokemon dress, you had loads of hate.
Yeah, I made a dress out of Pokemon cards, like, and I just wore it and it got posted in the group. And I hope you don't mind me saying, somebody's comment was, I hate trans people. And I was like, that has nothing to fucking do with me making a dress out of fucking Pokemon cards. But okay, like, that is such an irrelevant comment that I see stuff like that and I'm like, but that doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't mean anything. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's just so stupid. Yeah. Like you say, like, people just coming on and like commenting, it's just so fucking stupid. And I see the comedy in it. I'm at a place where I can see the comedy in it. And I think that if you can switch that mindset, then it will help rather than just letting it bog you down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other questions?
Go on.
Oh, we've got, come on, we must. Oh, hang on. You need a microphone.
What was that, sorry?
Oh, that's recorded, wasn't it? Sorry. Hi, Mary. I saw something down the train, this is why I was thinking of it, and it was someone had posted, like, it was like a Pride Month. It was like the Pride Platypus. It was wonderful. And like, people's comments were just like, horrendous. And the person who like ran the page, I just thought was really genius. It was like every single one that was just like anti. It was like, thank you so much for your comment. Thank you for showing all of your LGBTQI+ and queer friends that they're not safe around you. Full stop. Every single one. And I was like, wonderful. Self-disclaimer. Great.
I think people think commenting online they're invincible. And it's like, no, but there's a print there. Like, we can screenshot that. It's there. Like, people can see that. There's receipts there. People can see it. People just think that social media is like this invincibility thing where you can type it and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And like, unfortunately, it will have a detrimental effect on some people on the receiving end. But I think if you're able to just switch off from it, cut them off. Fuck it.
Block.
I think you're saying switch off, but also you're saying recycling the energy of hate into something positive and something that's going to serve you and our communities.
Just find it funny. Like, just...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Any other questions? Oh, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What I really liked you talking about was like the social media aspect of it. And it made me realize like a question that I have in my head in my own research around like how responsible are our digital spaces, like app spaces, for like supporting LGBT people and minority people, and what do you think that they should actually do? Like the humor part I think is good, but I don't really see apps doing like a lot about giving positive funny messages about how like not to be and what you could do better. So just like wondered if you guys had any ideas of like what apps could do and if they should do anything at all. Like who's responsible for
I think the problem space? Is with like apps and social media now is it's become such a shit show of everyone's entitled to everything that there really is no propaganda or no like rules that any app can put into place. Really, it's just become that, unfortunately, that is just the way it is. And I think speaking on relationships, it's about understanding your relationship with social media rather than putting the blame onto everybody else's relationship, because that's theirs. If they're using social media for hate, that's on them. If you're using social media for just the spread of love, that's your relationship with social media and that is on you. So I think it has just become, the internet is like going to be the death of all of us, really. It's like made the world and it's going to fucking break the world. But it's unfortunately become such a, anyone can log on at any time and do anything, that there really is no policing it, unfortunately. Like, yeah, you can flag up words and you can report and you can block, but I just think, I know that sounds really morbid, but it's almost like it's, there's no, you can't really police everybody in this room. We can't police all of us at once. Like, unfortunately,
Too many people using it, I guess.
Yeah, there is. Like, it's become too accessible to hate on people and it's become too easy to hate on people. But I think, yeah, like I said, it's important to understand your relationship with social media. And once you understand that, I think then you'll find a more comfortable space in whatever app you're using.
Any other comments? No? Thank you. Thank you, Harry. Any other questions? Oh, Morgan.
So since we're on the topic of social media, this goes for anyone who wants to say anything about this. How do you think social media has affected your relationship with yourself?
Thank you, darling. Who wants to say that first? It's interesting, isn't it? Because social media can be a bit of a head fuck.
Yeah, 100%. I think even somebody who's like well up their own ass and loves themselves, like, you know, there's days where you'll scroll and be like, oh, for fuck's sake. But I think we touched on it earlier about kind of disassociating and kind of just scrolling away from it and kind of think comparative stuff. What was it? Comparative is taking away joy. Whatever. Comparison is the thief of joy. Yes, that. It's true. Like, if you start to compare yourself to somebody else online, you don't know what they're going through. They've posted a picture in, like, I used to go, I was a dancer on cruise ships for like 5 years, but, you know, I'd post all of these pictures on a beach, but no one had any idea what I was going through just because I'm in a Speedo on a beach. Everyone's like, oh, he's amazing. He looks so good. I went through a really bad breakup and didn't get married because I had a horrible breakup. Still posted a lovely picture on a beach, but, you know, people do that. And, like, if you compare that, everyone's like, oh, he's having an amazing time. No, I was actually really, really depressed. But it's the same thing. Like, I think you just have to learn to switch off from that and switch off from comparing yourself to what you see. That's my opinion.
It's like the extreme, isn't it? It's like you've got the positive posts from people like, my life is amazing, or the shit comments from everyone that's awful to other people on social media. It doesn't feel like there's an in-between.
Well, unfortunately, when people do post an in-between, like, I'm struggling, everyone's like, oh, shut up. Let's be honest.
I'll send you a DM, babe.
And yes, it's like, exactly.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's look, everyone has got their purpose to reach out. But sometimes you kind of get, like, a message saying, oh, it's been an awful day. And then I think some people do wait for the comments because that is their release. They want people to get in touch. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, that's almost... Is that a healthy way to use social media? I'm not sure. Because does that feed the drama of whatever's going on in your life rather than actually, I don't know, promote constructive conversations or relationships with people where you can actually feel that you're supported? I'm not sure.
I mean, I personally don't use social media as therapy. I think, like, that's more of a private thing. And if you are struggling, you should probably seek help privately. You don't need an audience to therapize yourself.
But a lot of people do, don't they?
Yeah, some people do. And I guess if that's the way they deal with it, that's fine. Just for me personally, I just don't do that. If I've got something I need to say, then I'll just say it to, you know,
the person.
Yeah.
I think also social media, the other side is that it can be really good to connect with your community. So we were talking earlier about living in a rural area when there's just not a lot of queer people, and actually sometimes finding the Facebook group or a group where you can go and belong and connect with other people and give you a bit of hope that actually you're not the only one who's queer and that there are other people like you, and one day, someday you're going to meet them, can be enough hope sometimes to just keep going. So there's some really good thing about social media that can help with the connection with yourself and the relationship with yourself. But of course, there's at the same time what you were saying about comparing the I'm living my best life and then you feel bad about it and so on. So it is really trying to take what's right for you, trying to take what's nourishing you and just leave out the rest as much as you can. Sometimes it might be connecting with social media. Sometimes it might be leaving it for a bit and limiting your exposure. And also how you use social media yourself. As you were saying, just like you, I'd never go on social media thinking I'm going to give hate to people. But you know what I try to do is actually lift people up as well on social media and bring some stuff to change a bit of the current of hate that is around. And it's only a small drop, but every drop counts these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a very good point. Thank you so much. Any other questions? Oh, Richard. Nick, sorry.
I answer to most things. You know that by now.
You get where the correlation was.
Yeah, I know the correlation. Yeah, that's the one that's not here tonight. Yeah. Just what you've been saying, what do you think social media per se could do about encouraging people to understand intent versus content?
Thank you, Nick. Very good question. Who would like to take that one?
I think, again, like, every app is so focused on pushing out content. Like, it's content, content. You even have people who have professional jobs as content creators. So I think I don't want to say there's no policing it, because, again, it sounds morbid about intent and content. But you can look at companies that are posting Pride stuff now. Is their intent great, or is it just content for Pride Month? Is it just, you know, thing, or is it just money? So I think, again, it comes down to your own use of social media and how you interpret that. I don't think there is any 100% policing that can be done on content versus intent. Again, I think it's just something that you have to be aware of as you're doing it. You know, you can scroll past and be like, oh, I was only saying Converse Pride because you've got them on, but I was going to say, you know, Converse are doing a Pride collection. That's great. But then suddenly you'll hate on another company for doing a Pride collection. It's like, well, is it the same thing? Like, what are they actually doing? Like, I remember Lego released a Pride set, which was great, but then none of the proceeds from that set went to anything to do with LGBT plus charity.
Well, I think so Listerine had a Pride mouthwash. I'm like, really?
Yeah, like...
I don't quite get it. Just like,
fitting
pride. I don't know. Yeah.
That is, I think we're overwhelmed by content and people are too focused on pushing content, creating content, because we're always looking at it 24/7, that I think the intent is how you receive it personally.
Do you know what? And actually you've wrote for them recently. There's an amazing website called Queer AF. And they are changing the narrative of media and journalism through queer people. So they are stopping the doom scrolling. They are very much about queer representation and actually the queer community telling the stories rather than the other publications telling the stories and then getting it wrong. Yeah. And it's incredible. What this person set up is amazing. You wrote for them quite recently about Pride Month, didn't you?
Yeah. It's a really great platform. And it's made by someone who is a journalist. And he was just continuously disappointed with the way things are being framed in the media. And that's where the intent comes back. You know, they say, oh, we're just reporting this, you know, no bias. It's all... Obviously, the intent is different, you know. And that's what you can do on social media. You can hide your actual intent a lot of the time with the way you frame things, with the way you push things, with the language you use. And people who don't know it and aren't as, you know, aware of the type of language that they use aren't critical enough to see what's actually being pushed. And I think that's another area of social media and people's almost literacy with social media and being critical of what they're seeing. Where is it coming from? Who's telling the story? You know, what's the argument? What's the language? Most people don't have time to think about things that deeply when they're reading the news. And I think that's a problem with social media as well. And that's what Queer AF does a lot, that it has queer people telling the stories from their perspective, which is, you know, 100% of the time more accurate than the BBC or the Daily Mail or whoever is
it's incredible.
Running the story.
It's so incredible. And they have a podcast and a newsletter and an online journal. And yeah, you can just access it by searching Queer AF. So I definitely promote that.
I read your Queer AF recent post and what struck me about it was that it works. You worked your ideas out over a slightly longer form than a lot of social media would allow for. And I think that going to intent, I wonder if intent is demands more context and more time than some of the content and the way the content is packaged and served on different social media platforms. Intent, you can read the first sentence, followed by the second qualifying sentence, followed by the third that kind of synthesizes, and you can start to really pick apart what this person is truly thinking. And perhaps some of the content that is there is served in kind of like the nature of it is bite-sized and easily digestible. And that is, you know, where we go with that, who knows? Like whether we will start to, you know, more generally crave that kind of long form content that is that allows for more picking apart of ideas and understanding it in a way that you wouldn't always in short form.
And picking apart ideas actually means also to be nuanced and to just have conversations in grey areas rather than just all or nothing or this or that. And, you know, short forms like Twitter, you just cannot have any intent. It's all just about rah, and this is it, this is that. And, you know, there's also in mental health, unfortunately, there's also the dark side of this, we call it TikTok diagnosis now, where people just watch a 1 minute video and then they can diagnose themselves with all sorts of illness. And then, hey, wait, you just tap on this and then it sells you a program, it sells you a retreat, it sells you a therapy program or whatever. And so it's, you know, going back to the capitalist kind of machine where, you know, even if this, it appears to have a good intent of mental health, good mental health, actually a lot of it has a dark side and it's all about selling stuff.
Absolutely. Any more questions? Okay. Well, thank you all so, so much for coming along tonight and listening to the conversation. Please, can I have a massive round of applause for this incredible panel? And thank you all so much for contributing and joining the conversation. It's been incredible. And yeah, have a safe trip home. I really hope you enjoyed the show. A big thank you once again to all my guests. Please share the podcast, give it a 5-star review if you'd like, and leave any comments you may have. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for all the latest updates on Queer I Am the podcast. Also, check out my website, www.fluiactually.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.